day 91 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Samuel 30 to 31. David avenges the destruction of Ziklag. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid on Negeb and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it down, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed none of them, but carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, they found it burned down and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David said to the priest Abiathar, son of Amalek, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" He answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue." So David set out, and he and the 600 men who were with him. They came to the Wadi Basor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David went on with the pursuit. He and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, too exhausted to cross the Wadi Basor. In the open country, they found an Egyptian and brought him to David. They gave him bread and he ate, and they gave him water to drink. They also gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirits revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunken water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong? Where are you from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. My master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid on the Negeb of the Cherethites and on that which belonged to Judah and on the Negeb of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag down." David said to him, "Will you take me down to this raiding party?" He said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them." When he had taken them down, they were spread out over the ground, eating and drinking and dancing, because of the great amount of spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not one of them escaped except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all of the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether great or small, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back everything. David also captured all the flocks and herds which were driven ahead of the other cattle. People said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the Wadi Basor. They went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. When David drew near the people, he saluted them. Then all the corrupt and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may take his wife and children and leave." But David said, "You shall not do so, my brothers. With what the Lord has given us, he has preserved us and handed over to us the raiding party that attacked us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For the share of the ones who goes down into the battle shall be the same as the share of the ones who stay by the baggage. They shall share alike." From that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel. It continued to the present day. When David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." It was for those in Bethel and Ramoth of the Negeb and Jatir and Aror and Sipmoth and Eshtemau and Rechal and the towns of the Jeremelites and the town of the Kenites in Hormah and Borashan and Atah and Hebron, all the places where David and his men had roamed. The death of Saul and his sons. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines, and many fell on the Mount Gilboa. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishau, the sons of Saul. The battle pressed hard on Saul, and the archers found him, and he was badly wounded by them. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, so that these uncircumcised may not come and thrust me through and make sport of me." But his armor bearer was unwilling, for he was terrified. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men died together on the same day. When the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those beyond the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their town and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent messengers around the land of the Philistines to carry out the good news to the houses of their idols and to the people. They put his armor in the temple of Astarte, and they fastened his body to the wall of Geshem. But when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men set out, traveling all night long, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan. They came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The book of 1 Samuel ends with the death of Saul and his sons. In many ways, the horrific end of the reign of Saul is predicted in Samuel's speech responding to the Israelites' request for a king. Let us return. Let us move to Revelation 16 to 18. The bowls of God's wrath. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, "Go and pour out the earth of the seven bowls of the wrath of God." So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and a foul and painful sore came upon those who had the brand of the beast and who worshipped its image. The second angel poured his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured his bowl into the river and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, "You are just, O Holy One, who are and were, for you have judged these things, because they shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." And I heard the altar respond, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just." The fourth angel poured his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, but they cursed the name of God who had authority over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and they did not repent their deeds. The sixth angel poured his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up in order to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three foul spirits like frogs coming from the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. These are the demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the king of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. See, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and is clothed, not going about naked and exposed to shame. And the demonic spirits assembled the kings at the places that in Hebrew is called Harmagedon. The seventh angel poured his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a violent earthquake such as had not occurred since people were upon the earth. So violent was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. God remembered great Babylon and gave her the wine cup of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, dropped from heaven on people until they cursed God for the plague of the hail. So fearful was that plague. The great whore and the beast. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who is seated on many waters. with whom the kings of the earth have engaged in sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose prostitution the inhabitants of the earth have become drunk. So he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and impurities of her prostitution, and on her forehead was written a name, a mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of whores and of earth's abominations. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly amazed, but the angel said to me, "Why are you so amazed? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast with seven heads and ten horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was and is about to ascend from the bottomless pit and go to destruction, and the inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, would be amazed when they see the beast, because it was and is not and is to come. This calls for a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. Also, they are seven kings, of whom five have fallen, one is living, and the other has yet to come. And when he comes, he must remain only a little while. As for the beast who was and is not, it is an eighth, but it belongs to the seven, and it goes to destruction. And the ten horns that you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. These are united in yielding their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who call him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns that you saw, they and the beast will hate the whore. They will make her desolate and naked. They will devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to carry out his purpose by agreeing to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman you saw in the great city that rules over the king of the earth." The fall of Babylon. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. He called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. It has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunting of every foul spirit, a haunt of every foul bird, a haunt of every foul and hateful beast. And for all the nations have fallen from the wine of the wrath of her prostitution, and the kings of the earth have engaged in sexual immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxury." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins, and that you do not share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her as she has herself has rendered, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double dose of her in the cup she mixed, and as she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, so give her like a like measure of torment and grief. Since in her heart she says, 'I rule as a queen, I am no widow, and I will never see grief.' Therefore her plagues will come in a single day, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who engaged in sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, the great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet, all kinds of scented wood, all articles of ivory, all articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, olive oil, choice flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, slaves and human lives. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendor are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who grew wealthy from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, the great city, clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls, for in 1 hour all this wealth has been laid waste. And all shipments and seafarers, sailors, and all whose trade on the sea stood far off, and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, Alas, alas, the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has condemned her condemnation of you. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, With such violence, Babylon, the great city, will be thrown down and will be no more. And the sound of harpists and entertainers and of flutists and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And an artisan of any trade will be found in you no more. And the sound of the millstone will be heard in you no more. And the light of the lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the magnates of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in you was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slaughtered on earth. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? John is unpacking his vision of the final coming of God's kingdom. As we have been reading through the New Testament and all of the chapters following the Gospels, I am continually reminded of early Christians' belief that Jesus would return shortly. How might we think about the imagery and messages of Revelation differently in our time? How does Revelation align with the imagery and message of God? In the fall of Babylon, what are we learning about the sin of greed and the oppression of fellow human beings? What does it mean when the riches were listed, that human beings were listed as well? What do we have to learn from the fall of Babylon? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you.